Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 17 through 25. If you could stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I will read the odd verses because of my estate, and you get to read the even verses because of how wonderful you are as a congregation. So I'll begin in verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
We are talking about the value of redemption today. And without him, we certainly would be lost, wouldn't we? And that is, of course, the value. And we're going to get to all of that this morning. But if you're there in 1 Peter chapter 1, as Peter writes this, he's trying to exhort those who have been saved. If you look to verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We understand that redemption is necessary. Okay? Without it, we have no salvation. We understand that the shedding of blood is important for remission of sins. It's required. It is the price to be paid. And can I tell you, the blood of bulls and of goats cannot pay for your sins. It can't. They're just animals. That was a picture of what was to happen. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God. As John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That was his lot, if you will. His design, God's design, and using his son Jesus to provide it for us. But a lot of times, I was just actually telling one of my sons this yesterday, this thing of value. What is of value to you? And how do you determine value? And can I tell you something? The value of something is simply what someone else is willing to pay for it. I mean, I told him the example. I could take this ring here and I could say, all right, this wedding ring is worth $1,000. Let's just put a number on it. Even numbers are good to work with. And I could say that's what it's of value to me, right? But then I kind of offer around and say, oh, well, would you be willing to buy it? Would you be willing to buy it? Would you be willing to buy it? Would you? And somebody say, well, yeah, sure, I'll offer you $50 for it. Well, that means to them, this ring is worth $50 because that's what they're willing to pay for it. And someone else says, well, I'll give you $200 for it. Well, then now the value of the ring is $200. You say, but you said it was $1,000. Yeah, because that's what I think it is. But what do you think it is? And you see, we're talking about the value of redemption. What is the value of redemption? Can you really put a price? What would you be willing to pay for redemption. I know what God was willing to pay for it. The Bible defines that for us, doesn't it? But you see, I think that those of us, and we're going to talk to a couple different groups of people today, those who have received redemption through Jesus Christ and those who have not. But can I tell you something? That those who have, you say, well, yeah, it's valuable to me. Well, how valuable? What price are you willing to put on it? You see, we got to kind of understand that our redemption is valuable. And can I say it's the most valuable thing in our possession? It is the most valuable above all other things. Look here at verses 18 and 19, what Peter says. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You understand that we were not purchased by silver and gold. We were not purchased by corruptible things, but rather we have been purchased through the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Yeah. That's valuable. That's valuable. How valuable? Let's go look and see. Turn over to John chapter 4, and while you're doing that, let me remind you of John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John chapter 4, we see the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. You understand, this is a wonderful story. I teach out of this passage of Scripture when talking about the purpose of our life as believers in witnessing and being a witness to others. But we're going to focus on the actual conversation with this lady that Jesus has. Look at verse 9 in John chapter 4. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, or saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You understand at this point in time, she still didn't quite understand, but shortly she would understand that he was speaking of himself and of salvation. But can anybody argue with me the fact that water is a valuable resource? Okay, you say, no, it's not, Brother Combs. We have so much of it right now, we don't want any more. Okay, oh yeah, just wait till the summertime and you'll be wanting some, I promise, okay? But can I tell you something? Worldwide, water is a valuable resource. Yeah? It's valuable. What does Jesus compare salvation with? Water. Water. Living water. Hey, if you have a plant and it doesn't have water, what will you have? A dead plant. Thank you. Absolutely. Yes, you will. What does a plant need? Water. What does a plant need to survive and to sustain life? Water.
What does a human soul need to sustain life? Living water. It needs salvation. It's a valuable thing. It's important. We've got to understand that there is great value in salvation. The value of the free gift of God. Here in John chapter 4, Jesus wasn't asking for this woman to buy this water from him. Was he? No, he said, whosoever. It doesn't, whoever you are, if you drink of this water, springing up in him a well of life unto everlasting life. God says that it's for anyone and it's free, but it is valuable. Just because something is free doesn't mean it's garbage or worthless. No, at times perhaps it may seem like that. But can I tell you something? One man's trash is another man's treasure. But salvation is not trash, is it? No, it's valuable. It is life. It is worth something. Hey, listen, we just went through Memorial Day. And we just talked about how the price of our freedom was the blood of those who gave their lives for it.
That's right.
Well, what did Jesus do? Oh, he went to the cross. We know that there was, according to verse 19 in 1 Peter, it was the precious blood of Christ that provided salvation for us. It is valuable. Romans chapter 5, turn with me there. Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 15. We're talking about the value of the free gift of salvation. It is a free gift. It doesn't cost you anything, but it cost him everything. I'd say that's valuable, wouldn't you? Romans chapter 5, look at verse 15. Romans 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey folks, it's the value of the free gift of salvation. The value of it. It is valuable. Yet we treat it so frivolously. Yet we treat it as if it's not valuable, because if something is valuable, we are wanting to show others the value. Are we not? Are we not? Hey, I'm speaking to human beings today, right? Okay, we got a bunch of human beings. Now listen, in every single human being is an element of pride. Right? If you have something of value, what is your tendency? You want to show people. Right? You want to show it off. Things of value have a place of prominence in your home, do they not? Maybe a china cabinet or a display case of some kind or whatnot. And when people come to visit, what do you want to show them? You want to show them the trash, the dirty laundry, the... No? You don't? All the things that are broken that need to be fixed? The pile of honey-do list items that need to be done? You don't want to show them those things? No. What is it you want to show them? Your nice things. Right? Because of that natural pride that's within us all, right? Hey, can I tell you something? Why don't we, as believers in Christ, who possess the most valuable thing, not want to show it off? How is that? Maybe it's not as valuable to you as you think it is, or as it should be. We understand in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Why don't we want to show others salvation? It's a gift. Hey, what are gifts meant to do? Be given away. You say, but I received it. I know. But it's the gift that keeps on giving. Yes. It's for all. Didn't you just read there in Romans 5 with me that it's for many? It's been multiplied. Because it's the gift of God and it is of great value. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God is freely giving us salvation. It's whosoever will salvation. It is valuable. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 15, the Bible says that thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It is of great value. And we can't even really describe the value of it that it's so valuable. Because nothing compares. Remember in Peter it says we were not purchased by silver and gold. We were not, our redemption was not paid for by corruptible things, but rather something incorruptible, something unspeakable, something so wonderful we couldn't even really describe how wonderful it is. But yet it is of great, great value. In Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there with me. We oftentimes go right to verses 8, 9, and 10. But what about the verses before? Ephesians chapter 2. We know verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." But what about verses 4, 5, 6, and 7? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." That's that so loved love. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together." And listen to this. "And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Folks, it's valuable. Our redemption is valuable. The free gift that God has given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, is the most valuable thing you can possess. And can I say today, if you are sitting here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have this valuable free gift today. Right. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is ask him for it and he'll give it to you. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Salvation can be yours. And let me say, for those of you that already have this salvation, you've already called upon Jesus and said, "Lord, save me." Just like that thief on the cross, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Hey, why don't you just get your polishing rag out and just shine up that salvation a little bit so that it shines out and shown out to others that God is rich toward us in his salvation. We need to let it shine, folks. Don't hide it away. Don't put it in the junk pile that you never show anybody. Put it in that place of prominence in your life so that everyone can see how valuable your salvation is to you. How valuable. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. A smart pastor would have marked it in his Bible so he didn't have to keep going back. You'll have to find one of those. Some of you laugh. That's good. The rest of you believe it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being, listen to this, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. What does that mean? What is valuable there? How about this? The value of the faithful life. The value of the faithful life. We have already seen that through redemption we have the value of the free gift. That's salvation in Jesus Christ. By faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, God says you can be saved by faith through Jesus Christ in His precious blood. But once we are, we know Ephesians chapter 2, remember, verses 8, 9, and then verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created, what? Yeah, in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Hey, there's a value in living a faithful life. Living a faithful life. You understand that in the New Testament, we have the parable of the master that went away, right? We understand that he gave unto the one five and the other two and the other one, right? Two of those men received a commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful. Over in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, it's interesting. You say, why are we going to the Old Testament? Well, it's a prophetical book. Daniel chapter 12. I thought this was interesting. We understand that all of this stuff is Michael delivering the book here. And it says in verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now we know this is talking about that book of life. And those that are written in the book of life, listen to this, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Talking about the judgment seat at the end times. Look at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's talking about the saved, folks. Think about those that do the work of the Lord. And they're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. The faithful life is a valuable life. We are to lay up treasures in heaven, aren't we not? Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The faithful life is one that is of value. Would someone consider an employee that was faithful, a valuable employee? I think so. Would someone consider a husband or a wife that is faithful, a valuable husband or wife? Absolutely. You say, that's not very common today. I know. You know, valuable things sometimes are not very common, are they? Amen. But can I tell you something? Doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs, that this faithful woman, her price is what? Far above rubies? Oh yeah. Absolutely. And a faithful Christian
is valuable to his master. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 12. Matthew 5 and verse 12. It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Can I tell you something? That's valuable. It's valuable to God, a life that shines for Christ. It shines. It's supposed to be seen. Like I said before about the free gift, we need to polish it off and let others see it, because it's valuable. It's to be displayed, not as pride on our part, but unto the glory of God. That's what we should show it for. Our life is to be shining for Christ. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, the Bible says, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." He's talking about rewards there in Matthew chapter 10. And can I tell you, there's a reward for living a Christian life and being a faithful servant. That master in Matthew 25, he said, Matthew 25 in verse 23. This is the commendation given to the faithful servant. Not only was he told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He said this in verse 23, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There was a reward for the faithful life. Hey, I tell you something, in the New Testament, over and over again, it talks about crowns. Crowns. You say, "Oh, I want a crown. Crowns are pretty. They're nice. They look nice. They're valuable, right?" Yeah, they are. Crowns are valuable. And guess what? We can receive some crowns. We can receive some of those things. Look at, if you want to, otherwise just listen, because I go a little quicker than some. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verses 9 through 15. The Bible says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You understand, folks, our building that we're building in this life is valuable. It's valuable. What we decide to build upon the foundation of salvation in Jesus Christ is important. It matters. Living a faithful Christian life. It matters doing our best for the Master. It matters hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Well, wait a minute, Paul. Why do you get a crown of righteousness? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've been a faithful Christian. I've done the will of God for my life. I've followed his direction and followed his path. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You say, oh, Paul, you're full of yourself. No, he's just displaying his crown. He's just showing it off because it's valuable. Oh, wait, he includes us too. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, yes. You say, oh, crowns aren't important. They are. They are. What are they for? So we can walk around in heaven with a bunch of crowns on our head and everybody can say, oh, look at that guy. He was a good Christian. Look at that lady. She was a good Christian. No. No, because in the book of Revelation, it talks about how when we see Jesus, we're going to bow before him. We're going to cast our crowns at his feet. How many of you want to be there without a crown to give to him? I don't. It's not for me. It's for him. There are the references to crowns in the Bible. James 1:12, 1 Peter 5:4, and 2 Peter verses 1 and 3 and 4. You understand, God says the faithful life is a value to the believer. It's a value. And this is the value of redemption. Why are we saved? Unto good works. We're saved to serve. God wants us to do something with the life he's given to us. It's not just to consume it upon our own lust. You say, oh, I just want salvation just so I can go to heaven and avoid hell. Well, that's not really it, is it? No, it's so we can avoid hell to go to heaven and so we can serve the Lord and see other people go to heaven. It's a faithful life. It's a servant's life. We are choosing to accept the free gift for salvation unto good works. So we can serve the Lord faithfully. You know, isn't God worth serving? I think so. I know so. He's worth serving. Would anybody else rather serve someone else? Well, I'd rather serve the devil. Terrible master. Well, I'd rather serve money. Horrible master. I'd rather serve the world. Terrible master. I mean, come on. No. I'd rather serve God. Good master. Faithful, just, righteous, holy, true. Man, that's valuable to me. That's valuable. A God that would love us first when we were unlovable. A God that would pull us out of the miry clay when we did not deserve salvation. A God that would send his only begotten son to be spat upon, mocked, rejected of men, beaten, despised, shamed, and to allow him to take upon him the sins of the whole world and give his life a ransom for many. That's the kind of God I want to serve. He did that for us when we did not deserve any of it. A faithful life. Then go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We've seen so far the value of redemption includes the value of the free gift of salvation. It includes the value of the faithful life of a servant. How about this? Look at verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The value of the future home of the saints. Future home of the saints. Anybody out there looking forward to heaven? Huh? You should be. Yeah, you should be. The kids sang a song at the kindergarten graduation. Heaven is a wonderful place. filled with glory and grace, right? I want to see my Savior's face. Oh, heaven is a wonderful place. Hey, heaven's a wonderful place. Are you thinking about heaven? Are you looking toward heaven? Are you wanting to get to heaven? I mean, isn't that what kind of the end game is all about, isn't it? We've got to understand the value of a future home in heaven. If you're satisfied with living here, you're satisfying for way too little. Yeah. Nothing can compare to what God has for us in heaven. And aren't you glad that we're just sojourners here? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, you're not feeling at home here. We're just traveling through. This is just Motel 6, folks. They leave the light on for us. But I'm telling you, heaven's so much better. Oh, it is. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This thing of looking for heaven. Heaven's valuable. The hope of heaven is valuable. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 20. I look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, isn't that true? And if money is your treasure, and a career is your treasure, fame and fortune is your treasure, your heart's going to be stuck here in this dreadful world, and you'll have no hope at all. If your treasures are in heaven, then guess where your heart will be looking? It'll be looking to heaven, trying to get there. And I don't mean that by our works getting to heaven. I'm just saying, waiting for the moment to go to glory. Because of Jesus Christ, because of that free gift of salvation that's so valuable to us, because of the faithful life we get to live for Jesus Christ because He saved us. And it's a future home that we've inherited because of Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. We get to sit in heavenly places because of Him. John chapter 14, turn over there. Jesus was trying to describe to His disciples about heaven. John 14. You may be familiar with this passage of Scripture. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that nice? You know what the most wonderful things about heaven is? We get to be with Jesus. Our Savior. The one who gave. We get to look Him face to face. We get to see Him as He is. Isn't that a wonder? Isn't that an amazement? Isn't that valuable? It ought to be valuable. Listen. Let's just say in real life, if you had an opportunity to get in a certain circumstance and someone saves your life, wouldn't you want to meet them? Well, wouldn't you want to say to them, oh, thank you for saving my life? Wouldn't you want to look them in the face and show your gratitude to them? Wouldn't you want to? Oh, I think so. And perhaps maybe let's say it's a water type accident and you were drowning and going under, and perhaps you passed out and someone dove in and pulled you to safety and maybe pumped all the water out of you and gave you CPR and things, and you were able to sustain your life and retain it and be able to be saved, physically speaking. And that person kind of fades off into the background, and the paramedics come, right, and they put you in, and you're kind of you're okay, you're safe, and where's the person, right? Isn't that what comes to mind?
Where's the one that pulled me from the water? I want to meet them. I want to thank them. And maybe in the hospital you're thinking about this and you're asking the doctors and you're asking the nurses and you're asking the authorities, well, who was it? I mean, and if you couldn't find it, wouldn't you go on a search? Come on now. Sure you would. But yet we go through our daily life. Christ has saved us. He's paid for our sins. And we're not looking forward to seeing Him face to face. Hey, that's valuable. We get to see Him face to face in heaven one day. Go to Revelation 21. You may already understand this. I know this is true. Maybe just reading a few verses from Scripture about our future home in heaven will help you see the value of heaven. Verse 9 in Revelation 21, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like the jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he came and talked with me, and had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysosphorus, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, I don't know if you can imagine that. But all those things that I just listed and said about, we on this earth would consider of great, great, great value. And we get to go there. Yeah, we get to look forward to going there. Folks, it should be valuable to you. The value of redemption, it should be precious. Or what should be shining in your life? The value of the redemption of your soul by your Savior, Jesus Christ, should be something to be displayed. Not for your glory, but for His. The value of redemption.